right out those doors, and they'll come back in right before the last song. Well, good morning. If you are not familiar with who I am, my name is Stuart Mizell. I'm pastor here, and I'm very thankful to see you all here. Whether you sit on this side of the building or that side, doesn't matter. We have been going through a series on the Sermon on the Mount, so I invite you to turn in a Bible, whether it is your own or it's the one in front of you, to Matthew chapter 7. We're actually going to be looking at verses 13 and 14 today. I believe at least some of the bulletins had a misprint there. If you are using the Bible that is in the pew, you can find that on page 812. It's a very simple statement of Jesus, and yet very profound and something that we need to meditate upon because this is God's Word. It is not something that we can just gloss over or read and go, I got it. It's something that we need to meditate on day and night so that we can grow in our love for our God and we can grow in our love for others who may be on the wrong path. So let's read this. I will read this and you read along with me, and by the Holy Spirit, we will hear what God has to say to us because this is God's Word. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Let's pray together. Father, even as I'm reading these words, the profundity of them, the weight of them is heavy on my heart and on my soul. Will you give me strength to be able to speak the truth to this congregation, to this group of people? And more than that, Jesus, would you be the one who preaches to our hearts today by the Holy Spirit? And just as you left the realms of heaven and dwelt among us, as I walk down from this pulpit to be closer to the people, use me as an instrument to speak truth to this group of people. Apply this passage with laser accuracy to every heart so that no one can leave here today not understanding and knowing the weight of what path they are on leads to, what destiny they are headed towards, and to see what is necessary to change paths if need be. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name and for your glory, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've all heard people who say there are two types of people in the world. And sometimes we can get a little irritated by those kinds of things, at least if you're like me, because things aren't usually that black and white. For example, you'll hear people say, you know, the types of people in the world, dog people and cat people. What about those people who don't like either dogs or cats, right? You hear people say there are two types of people in the world, coffee drinkers and tea drinkers. What about those people who enjoy both? You'll hear people who say there are two types of people in the world, iPhone users and Android users. What about those who don't use either? And then maybe you'll hear this. There are those who think that The Princess Bride is one of the greatest movies ever made. And there are those who have never seen The Princess Bride. I love this congregation. Now, I know a personal thing for me, and I know this is going to hurt some people's feelings, and I'm sorry that it will, but there are people who pull for UNC, and then there are decent people. I'm sorry, Susan. I'm sorry. You know I love you anyway. But you know, there really are decent people that pull for UNC, like Susan. And there are people who have never seen The Princess Bride, and there are people who have seen The Princess Bride, and they don't think it's a big deal. Things aren't always black and white like we make them. Oftentimes, we use these false dichotomies to try to figure out the world. But that is not the case in today's passage. It is not a false dichotomy that Jesus is building. This is a real dichotomy, a true dichotomy, the only dichotomy that really matters. There are only two types of people in the world, Jesus is saying in this passage. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, there are only two types of people in the world. And notice what he says here in this passage. Enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. And the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Jesus is basically saying, there are two paths that we can be on. And that path is a destination, an eternal destination. And there are only two choices. Only two. And that bugs us. That bothers many of us. Because we always want a third or a fourth or a fifth option. We like judging the world in those kind of binary ways. But when it comes to our choices, we want more than just two. Right? I mean, think about when you go to a grocery store. Do you only want two choices of cereal? I doubt it, because if that's the case, we're going to the wrong grocery stores, because they have hundreds of choices. And not just cereals, but soups and meats and vegetables. And it doesn't matter what you're looking for. There are a plethora of choices that you can take. But Jesus says when it comes to the kingdom of God, there are only two. We are all either on the path that leads to life or the path that leads to destruction. We are all either on the path that leads to life or we are on the path that leads to destruction. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He says, you've got to enter into the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And there are those who enter, and those who enter by it are many. But there is a narrow gate, and that way is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are plenty of people who would like to whitewash this away, who would like to say, no, there are other options. Or everybody's on the path to life. It's just, in fact, there are more than one path that leads to life, and that's just not true. At least if you follow Jesus, if you believe what Jesus says. Now, if you don't believe what Jesus says, I guess you can think anything you want. But for those of us who say Jesus is Lord, there is no good reason to say anything other than Jesus says it, I believe it. And if Jesus says there are only two destinations, and there are only two paths, and whichever path you're on will lead to that destination, we have no other choice but say, yes, Jesus, I agree. And I know that goes against the pluralistic way that our society is. But we, as followers of Christ, my brothers and sisters, those of you who claim the name of Jesus, who are sitting here today listening to this, and you say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. I call him Savior. I call him Lord. There is no other choice but to follow what he says here. Even if everybody calls you a close-minded bigot. I know that's hard. We don't like being called names. We don't like being called closed-minded in our open-minded society. But again, this isn't about our feelings, and it is not about our emotional reactions to other people. This is about what is true and what is not true. And if we believe that Jesus speaks the truth because he is God in the flesh, how could we say, along with our culture, all paths lead to life? Or only if you're as bad as, say, Hitler, would you go to destruction? No, there are only two paths. One that leads to life, that is being with God forever, and one that leads to destruction, that is hell. And according to Jesus' analogy that he gives here about gates and paths, according to his analogy, the path we are on depends on whether we have entered the narrow gate or not. Whether we have entered the narrow gate or not. Isn't it interesting that here, near the end of his sermon, he's been talking about all of these things that are kingdom related. And then, in almost a surprise move, he looks at everyone and he says, make sure you enter the narrow gate. Enter it. Don't be fooled by what people around you are saying. Make sure that you enter that narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. When my family, a few years ago, we went to General Assembly, which is for our denomination a yearly meeting, where people from various churches and various areas in the Presbyterian Church in America get together and we discuss business of the church. And one year we had that in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And while we were there, we visited this underground cavern. It was really cool. I enjoyed walking through there. And I tried to encourage my family to go at night, where they turn off all the lights and you just have like that little hat with the light on the top, and nobody wanted to do it. I don't know why. I think that would be really fun. But they all thought, that sounds scary. And I can understand it to a certain extent, because it wasn't this wide cavern, you know, this wide or whatever. In some places it was, but in many places, I mean, literally, I had to turn like this on my side and walk through like that, just to be able to get through that narrow passageway. And when I think about what Jesus says, when he says, look, the way is narrow, that's what comes to my mind. Not everybody wants to go through that area. Not everybody wants to try to squeeze through, because it's hard. It's difficult. It's a little scary. You may have to drop something or leave something behind in order to get through. But Jesus, he's very clear. His first statement is enter that gate. Enter the narrow gate. Not the wide one. Don't go on the wide road to destruction. No, enter that narrow gate and be on the path that leads to life. And anybody who has been in this church for any number of time, you know where we're going next, because we have to go here. What is this narrow gate that Jesus is talking about? Well, Jesus himself is the narrow gate. Jesus himself is the narrow gate. You want life? You come to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Anyone who wants to come to the Father must come through me. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. Some of you know that I was a graduate student at Duke University. And while I was there, I remember a conversation that I had in class with various of my classmates talking about who would be saved and who would not be saved. And I remember this one student, I thought it was really bold in that kind of environment especially, to say, you know what? If somebody tries to come to God through Jesus, I'm sorry, if somebody tries to come through God and not through Jesus, they may be going to some God, but it's not the Father of Jesus. And I've thought about that since then. You know, we may try to make a God of our own choosing, a God that kind of fits who we like, what we want to do, the way we want to live, the way we want to be. And we think that this God will put his stamp of approval on us just because we're us and just because we do what we do. But that's not the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want the true God, the real God, the living God, we must go through Jesus himself. He and he alone is the narrow gate. As Jesus himself says it in John, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door, and if anyone enters, he will be saved. So here's where I need to pause for a moment. And I know that as I look out among you, I know that there are many of you who have already entered that narrow gate. And praise God for you. I'm so thankful to be a part of a congregation where, as I look out, I think there are so many people that I can trust that God really has worked in your heart. You really have shown faith. You really have demonstrated true repentance and true faith. And you're walking with the Lord on this path. And it is great to see. It's beautiful. But then I'm sure that there are others of you who are here today who, for whatever reason, you have not entered the narrow gate. And maybe you thought it was too confining. Maybe you thought, I don't want to give up something. And maybe you thought, you know, That Christian thing, it just seems so hard. It just seems so difficult. I don't know. I don't know what your reasons might be. But I can tell you that God does. He knows you better than you know yourself. And what God is offering in Christ, what God has presented to people, sinners, who deserve wrath, who deserve just judgment, who deserve the path of destruction. They actively have chosen to walk on that path by their sin, by their rebellion against God, by doing things their way instead of God's way. What God has given to sinners like me and like you is Jesus. And he says, you know all those sins that you committed, all those wrong things that you've done in your life, whether they are actions or words or even just thoughts, attitudes of your heart, you know all those things? Christ died to take the curse of those sins upon himself. And he did so on the cross. And he did that as a substitute for anyone who would look to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I need grace. I need someone to save me, to rescue me. And that's the best offer you're going to get in this life. There's no sales pitch. It's a matter of life or death. Literally. So, my desire for anyone here who has not yet wrestled with the truth to the point where they go, I have no other hope but Jesus, is that today will be the day of salvation for you. That today will be the day when you say, I need Christ, and nothing else will do. I don't know if you noticed or not, but most of the songs that we've sung so far were all about that. How there's nothing that we can bring to the table other than our sin. And only Jesus can save. Only Jesus. So enter that narrow gate, folks. If you've never done it, find hope in that narrow gate and cling to Jesus, believe in Him, trust in Him. And you say, well, I don't know what to do. How do I do that? Come to any person in this room and ask. And I guarantee you, they will be able to say, if they can't say, they will point you to someone else and say, hey, here's what you do. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you know that you cannot save yourself? Do you know you deserve God's just judgment? If so, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now that sounds easy. But Jesus wants us to know that the path that leads to life is neither popular nor easy. And this is the part we're going to struggle with. This is the part we're going to need to wrestle with even more than just thinking about our pluralistic society that wants to tell us there are more ways to God than just one. Jesus goes out of his way to say that this path that leads to life, it isn't popular and it's not easy. Look at verse 13. He says, enter the narrow gate. Why? Because the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. We sometimes judge truth by popularity. If something is popular, then it must be true. Don't give in to that kind of lie, please. Don't. And it is a lie. Just because something is popular, just because everybody's doing it, just because everybody believes it, doesn't make it true. And just because something is easy doesn't mean it's got God's stamp of approval on it. Now, let me say this before I go any further. Just because you're doing something easy doesn't make it wrong in and of itself. But Jesus himself says that the way of life is hard. And it's as narrow as the gate itself. Because it's hard admitting that we sin. Oh, it might be easy in our context of saying, I'm a sinner. And everybody can say that. I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. We don't say that, but what about confessing real sin? I'm not talking about some imaginary fake stuff that you go, oh yeah, we're all sinners, we all make mistakes, we all mess up. No, I'm talking about real sin. It's hard. Some of the hardest words to say in anyone's life is, I was wrong. And if you don't believe me, ask your spouse. I was wrong. I am wrong. That's even harder. And not only to admit that we're wrong, but also to have a lifestyle of that, where we admit where we're wrong, where we confess our sins, not just to God, but to one another. Where we have a lifestyle of doing that and then saying, I hate this. Not just confessing it and going back and doing it over and over again and have, you know, no conscience about it, but to say, I hate this. I don't want to do this. As Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, I would rather pluck out my eye than do that again. I'd rather cut off my hand than do that again. That's, we say that's hyperbole, that's metaphor. He's talking about being serious. Well, are we serious about our sin? And Jesus says if you're on the path of life, yeah, there's some seriousness there. You're going to have some seriousness about your sin. Because Jesus died for that stuff. Jesus died for you in that regard. If you're a follower in Christ, if you know it was your sin that put him there, and you love the Lord Jesus, why would you say, I want to go back to that and wallow in it and go to bed with it and snuggle up to it? Why would we want to do that? That's part of the reason why the road is hard. It's hard because we say we take sin seriously. It's also hard because other people don't like what we have to say or what we're going to do. Jesus says, Paul says that anyone who seeks to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And maybe that's not being thrown into jail for your faith. Maybe that's not, you know, having people steal things from you or take things from you. But maybe that's just having people say all kinds of terrible things about us simply because we love Jesus. It's hard. And then there's popularity. And I don't know about you. I don't want to make any assumptions about any of you, but I know for me, you know, all my life, I've had at least some desire to, quote unquote, fit in. And even though there's a huge aspect of my personality that likes to be independent and do things my own way and that sort of thing, and you guys, you've seen that. But at the same time, I still want to fit in. I still want, in one way, to go with the crowd because it's easier. Because I feel like I'm a part of that group. And when I was younger, the temptation was really strong. I mean, teenagers, preteens, let me tell you, you know, the peer pressure that you might feel from people in your school or, you know, in your neighborhood or whatever, I mean, that stuff is real. And it's hard. It's difficult to say no when everybody else is saying yes. But when you know something is right based on what God says, our call is to say no when everybody else is saying yes. And yeah, that's hard. That's difficult. It's not popular. But if we are on the road to life, our experience will not be marked by ease and popularity. It will not be. It will not be marked by ease and popularity. And as one Christian rapper once said, if you're having your best life now, you're probably headed for hell. Because this isn't the best life now. For the Christian, the best life is later. And that's what Jesus holds in front of us. He says, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's not popular. Yet, we find encouragement to endure the difficulties of walking on that narrow path when we consider what kingdom life is really like. Jesus tells us what this kingdom life is like when he says, look, enter that narrow gate. The gate's narrow, yes. The way is hard, yes. But it leads to life. What kind of life is he talking about? He's talking about eternal life. And we're not just talking about age, length. We're talking about quality of life. A life that ends in the final analysis in a new heaven and a new earth where God himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. The former things will have passed away because our God will have made all things new. And there will be love and joy and righteousness and peace, and our faith and our hope will be made into sight. And all these things that you read about in the scriptures and you say, what will it be like to be in the presence of God? You won't have to imagine it. You won't have to wonder because you'll know. You'll see. You will hear. You will be able to touch and taste and smell. What a day that will be. Yesterday, we decided, we're having a little birthday party for my oldest daughter, and so we decided we're going to do some cleaning up since we moved into a new house and that sort of thing. And my job was to work mostly on the outside of the house. Those of you who know me well, you know I hate yard work. Just don't like it. I grew up with my dad as a farmer, and he made me go outside all the time in the field to work with him, and I hated it. And when I turned 18, my dad said, would you like to have the farm? And I said, no way, give it to my sister. I am never doing farm work again. My dad's was a very patient man to deal with me. But anyway, yeah, I don't like doing that. And so all day long yesterday, while I'm out working in the sun, I keep thinking, there's a Coke Zero in the refrigerator. And when all this is done, I'm going to drink that Coke Zero, and that thing is going to be so delicious. Now, maybe you don't like Coke Zero, that's fine, but that's just what I was thinking. I'm telling you what I was thinking. And you know what happened? When I got the refrigerator, there were no Coke Zeros in that refrigerator. It was awful. That's not how it's going to be with the promises that God has made us in Christ. We will endure, we will go through hardship, we will go through pain, we will go through difficulty, but when God says, I promise you, this is what it's going to be like, when we get there, we will see that He really meant it. And so, my brothers and my sisters, and even those of you who aren't brothers and sisters yet, if you're thinking, gosh, this Christian life, it seems so hard, it seems so difficult, it seems like what Jesus is calling us to, it just goes contrary to everything in the world. Yeah, it's true. But He's given us something to look forward to. And even more than that, He's told us that not only do we have that to look forward to, He has sealed us with His Spirit so that it is a guarantee that even now we can experience some of the love and joy and righteousness and peace that will be abundant in that day. And what it takes is fixing our eyes on Jesus. And for the joy set before us, enduring what He calls us to endure. Just as He, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross and scorned its shame. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we too will get to sit there. So let's take Jesus at His word. That as we trust Him, He will truly give us life that is abundant and eternal. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You that even though it is hard to hear sometimes and hard to live out sometimes, You have given us in Christ and by Your Spirit everything we need to live this life of godliness, to walk the path that leads to life because we've come to You, Jesus. And now, Holy Spirit, will You work in every heart, even now, that those of us who do not believe, today would be the day where we believe for sure, for real, that we would repent of sin and turn to You. And those of us who have believed, who have trusted in Jesus, that today we would get more of a sense of the joy that is set before us. And that we wouldn't see obeying God as burdensome. But we would see following Christ as the greatest joy of our lives because what we have in Him and because of who He is. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.